Hello.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello. When you think you're about to give up, yeah, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap, yeah. Say, be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap now. Say,
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning. Welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host with my co-host on the line, Brother Daniel. I'm your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside. And you just heard a little musical interlude that said, do not worry. You know, and I loved it. Because as we look around this world, and we look around this society, and we look around the town that we live in, which is Dallas, Texas, there's a lot.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Good morning,
Hello.
Frank. You come on the
earth, especially for you. When
Hello?
You think you're
yeah, I'm here.
Hello? Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, Blog Talk listeners, and thank you all for calling Street Talk, where we are on live every Friday night from 8 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. I am your host, Miss Reddy. Thank you all for calling Street Talk. We can be reached by dialing 310-982-4126. That's 310-982-4126. We have a few rules on Street Talk. I ask that you all please put your phones on mute because we are on live and you can hear background noises. And I also have another rule that we all do not use profanity. Okay, on tonight, I would like to just welcome you all for calling Street Talk, and I apologize that we hadn't been having Street Talk for the past 2 weeks. Unfortunately, I was having technical difficulties. As you all can see, I was having some just this moment, and we're going to move forward from that. Thank you all for joining us on Street Talk, where we are able to free your mind, speak about everyday life issues, and just have a regular conversation about what's going on in everyday's life. I have a couple of callers online. If you all would, just say hello on tonight. Caller is 0345. Say hello on tonight.
Hello. How y'all doing? It's your boy Larry Love. How y'all doing, people? How y'all doing?
Hey, Larry Love. How are you?
I'm blessed, highly blessed. At Donna Monte Flute Service, about to go into work. And I'd just like to say hello to the people, man. How the people doing out there, man?
Everybody's okay. We've been missing you on Street Talk. Why haven't you been on Street Talk lately?
Well, Layla has had to be in rehab because I have been disabled from a function for my kids. So I have to go get myself rehabilitated. Bye. Y'all be careful. I have to go get myself clean and clean for the world. And let people know Larry love y'all. And I miss y'all, man. Big ups to T-Don.
Big ups to T-Don?
Yeah, T-Don, my best friend, swinging on a swung. Shout out to Big Bro.
Okay, that's your friend that that's incarcerated, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I remember we did a show about what happened with him in the Cedar Hill area, and
yes.
We would like to just say that may God be with him, and give us an update on him if you would like to. What's going on with him? Do you know?
The way it occurred, I don't know, but I just wish him the best of luck. Right now, I don't know what's going on with him, and I hope the best for him. I hope everything's going well with him. I love him, man. I love his kids like they're my own kids.
Okay. We appreciate you for saying
that. Hey, I got to go to work. I got to let y'all go.
Okay, know that God is with
you. I let y'all go.
Know that God is with him and God is with you all. Thank you for calling in, Larry Love. Hello, we have a caller at 8728. How are you on tonight?
Hello,
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
I'm fine. I'm fine. May I ask whom am I speaking with?
I'm speaking with Doughboy.
Doughboy, how are you on tonight?
I'm okay.
You're okay? That's great. That's great. Do you have anything that you would like to share with Street Talk on tonight?
Let's see. You know, I just really started listening, and I didn't know what you guys were talking about. You know, really, I just was like to say, you know, how I know I haven't talked to you guys in a while, and I'm hoping and praying that everybody's alive and well, and their families is in good circumstances, and you know, I've just been looking at all these crazy things that's going on around, you know, the area, and things that's happening with, you know, kids and stuff that's been out of line. I've just been praying that the world will become a better place for each and every one of us.
Okay, you said some things that is going on with around us. What kind of things that are you speaking about?
Well, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm seeing all these crazy situations where, you know, spouses and people are trying to commit suicide and, you know, things like that. I'm like, man, you know, young people, especially a couple of my partners that I know, just tried to commit suicide the other day, and I'm like, man, this is crazy. That let me know that we're living in some horrible times. But
you
all the thing I can do is they're trying to commit suicide.
Okay,
yeah.
That's a sign that you said a couple of your friends are trying to commit suicide.
Yeah.
That's very touching. Would you like to share with me a little more about that?
Well, you know, all I know is that I got a call. Well, I got a call from my sister. She was telling me, you know, so her friends that I knew, been knowing for a while, which she's like one of my kids' mom's cousin. She was like, you know, he tried to commit suicide the other day. And I was like, wow, what happened? You know what I'm saying? And I caught in on the last of it. And I've been knowing the little young man. You know, he's been going through a couple of tragic things in his life. And I guess, you know, I guess things just got bad. And he just couldn't take it anymore. No, but lo and behold, you know, his sister came and they kind of saved his life. And, you know, he's all right, you know, right now. But, you know, just things, it's just showing, you know, that, you know, when people are going through some things, it's like, remember when we had a topic a few months ago, we were talking about, you know, it's always good to talk to your friend and ask them when they're going through something because you could be a listening ear. So some people, they, you know, when somebody tell you they're going through something, some people, they blow it off. And you never know if that person is, you know, struggling with something that they can't handle.
Yeah, you're right about that because some people go through different things and sometimes you'll blow them off and then you'll be wondering what's going on and, you know, they, you know, if you blow it off and you'll be some kind of way, sometimes you feel responsible for what went on with them and I want you to know that you're not responsible for what went on with them because, you know, things happen and, you know, everybody makes their own decisions. So I don't want you to go around thinking that if you blow them off or if you didn't get a chance to speak with them, that, you know, it's your fault. But, you know, like we did the show, we said, you know, it's good to lend a lending ear. You know, sometimes it's good to listen when somebody comes to you and they say they're going through something. It's good sometimes that you would stop and kind of pay attention. That's all a part of being a friend. Remember we had a show about what it takes to be a friend to somebody?
And yeah. Being
a friend, sometimes you listen to what the other person is going through, you know? We have a couple of more
right. Callers
online. Caller at 2991, can you say hello on tonight?
Hello, how y'all doing?
We're fine. What can you introduce yourself on tonight?
Oh yes, ma'am. How you doing? I'm Lisa.
Okay, Ms. Lisa. Thank you for calling Street Talk. Well, we're on live and we're speaking. Doughboy was saying that a couple of his friends had tried to commit suicide here recently, and he was saying that you can share with her what you were saying. He was saying that sometimes people don't listen when a person is saying they're going through something and people blow them off and, you know, you kind of feel responsible after they commit.
Yeah, something happened to them,
yeah, so you kind of feel responsible because, I mean, sometimes the Lord puts you in situations to where you can lend a listening ear or pay attention to your friend and your loved one, you know? And you're held responsible if you don't give them the feedback that you're supposed to give them, you know, at that time. So that's when your conscience starts to eat you up a little bit. But you know, sometimes you may not know the words to say. That's why we have this. You know, that's why we have shows like this, and we talk to each other. We encourage each other to start caring for your neighbor and things of that nature.
Right.
So if you would speak with them, if you have some input on it, I would like you to share some input on.
No, I'm fine right now. Go ahead, keep talking. No, I didn't say you. Go ahead.
Okay. Doughboy.
Yeah.
Doughboy, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still.
What I
was saying against, it's like, you know, a lot of times, you know, when we was having that conversation a few months back, you know, a couple shows back, and we was talking about stuff like that, you know, when you really sit out and you think about it, when it comes close to home, it's not bothering me because I see things, you know, I worked at a film home, so I've seen a lot of weird things, and I've grown up in the streets, so I've seen things. There's nothing that I can't say that, you know, that probably could change the situation, and I'm not going to let it be a guilty part on my behalf because I wasn't there. I haven't talked to this person in a while. I seen him probably about a month or two when he came on my house, but, you know, when he came to bring something to my niece. And, you know what I'm saying, then he looked like he was in a good spirit. But you never know, you know what I'm saying, from day to day, you know, from last week to, he might, something horrible have probably happened. Well, you know what I'm saying, that's why I say, you never know what somebody's going through, so it's always good to, you know, when you got a friend's phone number on your phone, you scroll through it, and you might just be thinking about them. Call them, say hi. They could be going through something, you know what I'm saying? An encouraging word never hurt nobody.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I say. It's just like, I'm going to use my situation. You know, me and you been talking, and I've been telling you already about this job thing that I've been going through, and I've been trying to get this thing straight with the attorney general people and telling my kids, mama, you know, this is what the situation is, so I can better everything for all my kids. And her thing was, okay, she was cool with it at first, and then all of a sudden, she just turned into a whirlwind and done something different. So I'm calling the judge. I'm doing everything, going through all the proper channels, and to the point where I got blue in the face, and I felt like, well, okay, if I'm talking to this person, I talked to the lawyer who represented the case, and then I did what the judge told me to do. And still, I'm like chasing, like a dog chasing his tail, and I'm trying to bite it to get the situation, you know, resolved, to get the flea or the tick or whatever's on my butt, and can't get it off. You see what I'm saying? So that gets frustrating. I'm like really talking, like having a conversation with the wall when I'm trying to fix something, and nobody's listening, and I'm trying to make things better for myself and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I could have been in that situation that my friend was in, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, God, you know, like, now you say you want to have $1 million, and you know the $1 million in your face, but you could touch it, but you're going to have to go through some obstacles before you get it.
Mm-hmm. I'm about to call y'all back.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's fine. Doughboy, what I would like to share with you on tonight, it says, you love your neighbor as yourself, you know what I'm saying? And it has, it's some verses, it was like a little thing that I had read about to help sadness or suicidal thoughts. It says, it was wrote by Jack Wellman. It said, what Bible verses can we read that come help us when we have suicidal thoughts or are overcome with extreme sadness? What ones would you include? It's like it says almost every believer that I have spoken with has passed through a dark night of a soul of at one time or another. They go through bouts of deep sadness or depression. Some are able to pass through these times rather quickly, but others have a more difficult time coming out of them. For one thing, it's normal to have times of sadness and falling in this fallen world. These times of sadness only becomes a serious problem when they begin to linger for days, weeks, and months. And it talks about different things of that nature. And it says, when a Christian reaches this point, they can't put off seeking help and should do that. They should do so immediately. There are wicked spirits that often put these thoughts in our minds. When we fail to read the Bible on a regular basis and our prayer life drops off, we can fall prey to feeling of hopelessness or worthlessness and being of no use of God or anyone else. It is sometimes a simple brain chemical imbalance which can be treated. At other times, it is the counseling that is needed to help lift us up. And it basically tells you like one of the Bible verses that comes with that. It says Psalms 34:18-9. It says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them." And you go into a depression and stuff like that, and it says maybe they can go to the Bible, and it says in Psalms 55:22, it says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." Like basically it's showing that God will deliver us out of everything that you go through. You know what I'm saying? You know when it says, "Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." You know, that's basically like telling a person to cast your whatever you're going through. You know what I'm saying? Get down on your knees, drop in prayer, and talk to the Lord about it. You know, that's some things that we forget as people. We don't go to the Lord when we're going through something. You know, he's the person that we can go to. He answers prayers. I don't know if other people understand that, but he answers prayers. And no one wants to be alone. I mean, people have anxieties and you know, things of that nature. But God cares for us.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to tell you something, Randy, to be honest with you. I'm going to show you how crazy my week was. You know, remember I was telling you in a situation where I was in a relationship with this little chick, right? And you know how things were going to work out. You know, we chopped it up. Well, last night I was doing something and I was discussing a situation with my cousin, and out of nowhere, I get a Dear John text. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, when you get to think about stuff, when you say raise and pull, but at first I felt some type of way when I read it, but then after I read it, and about a few hours later, I thought about it, okay, well, here's the joy. The next morning, things that looked funny in my head that night, God was like, okay, this is what this person felt about you, but I'm going to show you what I'm going to do for you. I was having a situation where, like, some financial things I was kind of worried about. But I knew I was going to fix them in my own timing. So it was like the burden I had with that person, he had lifted the joint and started opening some different doors and avenues where I didn't even have to think about it no more.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So with that being said, you know, like what you just said a while ago, nobody wants to be alone. But sometimes God make it to the point where you have to come back and talk to him instead of relying on other people. You know what I'm saying? So if you know that this is what you need, this is where you got to go to. Like when I was hustling a lot of times, you say all the time, I don't need nobody. And God took everything I had and broke me to the point where I had to go back home to my mama.
Yeah. I understand that. We have another caller at 6495. Can you say hello on tonight? If your number ends in 6495, you can say hello on tonight. I opened it where you can speak.
Hello.
Hello, how are you on tonight?
Oh, I'm fine. I was just listening in.
Okay, that's fine. We appreciate you for calling. That's Ms. Beasley? Okay. Okay, Doughboy, you can finish talking. Doughboy?
Yeah. And you know, with that being said, I was saying this to myself. A lot of times when I was into the streets, this is weird, but I'm going to tell y'all something. A lot of people don't understand this. This is true. When I had my conscientious thoughts, when I was having money and running the streets, I used to ask God to take that desire away from me to let me see who my real true friends were. You know what I'm saying? Why are they here? Why, you know what I'm saying? Are you around me for the things that I have? So I asked God to take the money and that financial burden and stress away from me. You know what I'm saying? And with that, he done it. But it was like, you know, when I used to say, I didn't need nobody. He took me back to let me see who I really needed. Do I regret it? Nah, I'm thankful because I'm still alive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, and you know, God gives you, just like what you said, God will give you what you ask for. But when you get it, you got to understand how you got it.
I understand what you're saying on that. But what I'm saying is, like, whenever you feel yourself slipping, you have to know that he's going to pick you up. You know, at some point you have to know that he's going to pick you up. And, I mean, I'm trying to figure some words that I can maybe share with you, but it hadn't came to me yet. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Gradually he is working the things out for me and letting me see him slowly at his pace, not at mine. And you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I even with all the kids I got, I say, Lord, why did you give me so many kids? They're a blessing, so I can't knock that situation. But the answers that I'm waiting to get from him, he show them to me slow, you know, daily. You know what I'm saying? So it's not for me to totally understand, but I see the thing. So I got more stresses than I do, but I'm thankful for every day that I do wake up. Every day is a different challenge for me to say, hey, I accept. I can take a breath when I wake up in the morning. I have no real major worries. I have the worries that I worried about then, I don't worry about no more. Basically is what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's good. That's good that you found a way to come to. And I know that whatever your journey is, God will see you through it. Cause I mean, he makes sure that if you pray to him, he'll answer your prayers, and he understands what it is that you're going through, because everybody has their own things that they go through. And you was talking about suicide earlier. You said that your friends are trying to commit suicide, and I mean, it's all around you. And I mean, you just have to know that I don't know what made them feel like they were suicidal, but it's not good to commit suicide, because I mean, the Lord didn't put us here to kill ourselves. You know, he didn't put us here for that. It's a God.
He's not gonna honor that.
Yeah, he don't want you to kill yourself. He has plans for you. He don't want you to go out and kill yourself. He understands. You have to understand that God comes to the rescue. Of people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he sent his son. In 3:16, it says God sent his son to die for us, you know, but it doesn't say that, like, we're supposed to go out and kill ourselves. That's not cool.
Not at all.
You know, how bad my struggle is, I couldn't see myself doing that. You know what I'm saying? I can't say, that's why I always try to be a lending ear to, you know what I'm saying, to my friend. It's like, what the preacher said at church the other day. He was like, he said, somebody in this church is, they have an understanding of things that it's a lot of things that they know that they should do that they're not doing. And when he was saying that, it was like, you know how when people, you know somebody directly talking to you and at you? You know what I'm saying? And then, like, we had a conversation, you know, the preacher's like about a year older than me. He's like a year older than me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Me and him, we constantly talk. Remember I told you that he said I could come bring street talk to the church. And he was like, it's a lot of things that you should be doing, Pierre, that you're really not doing. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, I was like, you know, I have to open my eyes to a lot of things that I do know. I just don't really, and it's like bad, like what you said earlier. When you know the things that you're supposed to do and you don't tell people about it, that's when you're held accountable. That's why when I know some things that I do know, I try to give people that because it tells you that in the Bible. If you know this information and you don't pass it on to this man, you're held more responsible than the person that you didn't get the information to.
Yeah, that's what I was telling you earlier. You are held accountable for things that you know, and God, if God knows that, you know, you God knows what he has taught you. In the Bible it does tell you in the Bible that you are held accountable for not passing on his message to someone else. If you know that you know how people say you have the urges, people be saying they have the urge to tell somebody something. It teaches you. It tells you in the Bible that you are held accountable for what you do know. But if you don't know it, then you're not held accountable for it.
If you know it, you're held accountable for it.
Yeah.
If you're supposed to know it, if you knew it, you're supposed to say it. If it says you say I was supposed to say that was on my heart. Well, it was on your heart, God. See, that's why I tell people this all the time. And a lot of people don't believe this, but I tell people this. God talks to us on a daily basis. And you might not think that just because you didn't see him come to you and have this conversation, it could be a total, complete stranger that you was wanting something, and they're going to come and bring it to you. You be like, how did you know that this is what I was thinking? Because that's what God told that person to come and deliver you that message.
You want
this information? It could be one of your friends. You thought about this sometime early in the day or sometime last week. The answer that you was looking for, he's going to send it to them to bring it to you. And you'd be like, how did you know that I was just thinking about this to yourself, but this is the answer that God gave to you? That's how the message brings you the message.
Like it's like they say, don't shoot the messenger. I mean, you're supposed to tell a person if it's on your heart. If you know something, you're supposed to spread it, especially when it's something that's going to help someone. You don't never keep something away from somebody that's going to help someone, because if you know it, then that's just like you're sinning by not telling that person the right thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're right.
Because
I guarantee if I know it and it's on my heart and God said it to me, I'm going to deliver it to you.
You're supposed to.
It's nothing but morally right.
Yeah, you're supposed to. It's not right for you to withhold information if you know it. That's not a good thing. We have a couple of more callers online. We have a caller at 7673. Can you say hello on tonight? If your number ends in 7673.
Hello.
Hello, how are you on tonight?
Doing fine.
Okay, thank you for joining our conversation on Street Talk. We're speaking in reference to, we're just having an open discussion about life and things that's going on. We have a couple of callers online. someone was speaking about friends that's going, that's having suicidal, well, some of his friends was trying to commit suicide, and he was speaking in reference to that, and we was just saying that you're held accountable for some of the things that you know and you don't tell, if you know something and you don't tell a person, you're held accountable for that. Do you agree or disagree with some of the things that we're saying? Had you been on listening?
I agree.
Caller?
I agree.
Okay. Well, I wanted to say, I wanted to talk to you about the when you were talking about suicide. These are some verses that can help y'all know. It's in the Bible that, I mean, people didn't give life, so they're not supposed to take it away. Only God gave life, so he's the only person that's supposed to take it away. You're not supposed to kill and stuff like that. It says in Job 1:21, I think it says, I come naked from my mother's womb, he said, and I shall have nothing when I die. The Lord gave me everything I had, and they were his to take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That lets you know right there that God gave you everything and that he's the only person that's supposed to take it away. You're not supposed to commit suicide. You're not supposed to take people's lives. And also in 1 Corinthians 6, I think it's 19:20, it says, haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit God gave you and that he lives within you? Your own body does not belong to you, for God has bought you with the great price. So use every part of your body to give glory back to God because he owns it. That tells you right there that God owns your body. You're not supposed to go and kill yourself or hurt yourself. You use your body as your own, use it for godly purposes. It's not supposed to be you're not supposed to kill it, you're not supposed to hurt it, harm it. You're supposed to take care of yourself. I mean, God put us here for that. I mean, we're supposed to care for one another. We're supposed to love one another, and we're supposed to love ourselves. You know, if a person is trying to commit suicide, I feel like we should speak to them and let them know that they're loved by God because God is love. And, I mean, everybody know God is love, right? Everybody on the phone?
Why did you say God put us here?
You said why did I say God put us here?
Yeah.
No, I said God didn't put us here to kill each other and to hurt each other. God put us here to love one another and to do whatever is it within his will. He didn't put us here to kill ourselves. He was saying that somebody was trying to commit suicide. I was just bringing out that he didn't put us here to kill ourselves.
Oh.
Would you like to share why God put us here? Because I see that you want to tell us why God put us here.
No, I just asked you, what did you say? I didn't understand what you said.
Oh, okay. I wasn't saying a reason that God put us here because I don't know the reason he put us here. I'm learning myself. I'm learning
well,
myself.
The reason he put us here was for us to communicate with him, and our purpose here is to worship him. That's why we're here. We're to worship him, and through our worship of him and his love for us and his teaching us how to love, we learn how to love each other and to take care of each other. So what you said a minute ago about us loving each other is one of the reasons, but a primary reason was to serve him and to worship him, but it also, like you said, was for us to help and to love one another. That's why he says that the great commandment is for us to love our neighbors as ourselves and to make God the first in our lives. So, yeah, but a lot of times when people feel so bad that they want to commit suicide, it's because they're listening to what the world has to say, and they're not seeking the face of God. And so they go by what the world has to say, and they're being judged by the world, and so they take more credence to what the world has to say than they do with what God has to say. And a lot of times people don't understand what their purpose is. They don't know why they're here. Some people think they're just here to have fun and to enjoy life and to have children and all that stuff, but that's not why we were here. That's not the purpose for us to be here. But he did create the marriage and the family. So when somebody is depressed, it's always good to, when they're thinking about taking their life, it's always good to pray with them and to share the scriptures with them and to help them understand that what's going on right now is not lasting. Most people think that when they get depressed and they get upset, they think that they fail to realize that too will pass. They take it so serious in their lives, and a lot of times you are in such pain that it's hard to get over it. But you have to remember that it will pass, and when you look back over it, it won't be that, it's not that big of an issue. But at that moment, it is a big issue because it dominates your life. But they don't realize that you have to seek the face of God and get that peace inside your life that only God can give. So it's good that when you have somebody that's your friend, it's not good to tell them I'll pray for you and go on. It's to take the time right then to hold them and pray for them right then and nurture them and comfort them and let them know that they are important in life. They're very important. God creates us all because he loves us. He wants us to have that abundant life. But it's important to, when your friends are hurting like that, to let them know how important they are to you, how important their life is and what a wonderful person they are, so that they will understand that they do serve a purpose. They are here for a reason and that we love them. So, you know, if you have somebody like that, just let them know how important they are to you and how much you treasure their life. So, but, you know, we go through so much today, it's kind of hard for people to put down the stresses of life and seek God's face. So it's a difficult time right now, but we have to stay in prayer. We have to learn to teach them how to pray.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. I completely understand exactly what you're saying. And I agree with you. And it tells you in the Bible a lot about depression and like how to overcome depression. And when you pick up your Bible and you read it, like we all have cell phones, right? So if you have a friend that's going through something, people don't even know that it's a Bible on your cell phone. If you just Google what you're going through, like you can type in like I'm depressed. You can type in I'm depressed. Like what Bible verses can I go to? And I mean your Google will lead you to some Bible verses within itself. If you have a cell phone, I mean we all talking on cell phones on tonight. So use what you got at home. People, even if you don't have a Bible, your cell phone is what we're using. I mean, if you type it in right now, like I typed in right now, Bible verses about depression, it gave me depression Bible verses. It tells me Philippians 4:8, Deuteronomy 31:8, Psalms 34:17. It tells you all these verses. And once you read these verses, apply to your daily life. I mean, it says, let me share one of them with you all. It says, Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. It's telling you, you know, it's trying to uplift you, you know. In Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. That's like uplifting. You know what I'm saying? It's uplifting you. That's words of comfort. You know, at times that you're going through stuff, you have a phone right there beside you. Pick it up and just go to your phone. I mean, y'all use Google every day for Facebook. Each one teach one. I mean, you'll never know it unless somebody tell y'all. I mean, I had to learn it. Everybody else has to learn it. It tell you 1 Peter 5:6-7. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due times. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. There's, go out and pray. You know, just pray. Just ask him whatever you ask him for. God hears everything. And, I mean, if you all, if like y'all said, what it takes to be a friend, you know, we all talk about being friends to each other. We all want to be friends to each other, but actually step out and take that step and encourage each other. You know, we let our ego step in and tell us not to help each other, you know. And sometimes we feel like, I don't want to tell him that because I might seem like I'm soft or, you know, stuff like that. These egos, we have to let that go at some point because everybody is the same. We're all human. God created all of us. We're different and unique in different ways, but we're all human, so we all have these same thoughts. The same way we're on the phone right now, somebody else was thinking about these things, you know? And I appreciate everybody that call in on tonight. They call in every Friday night and speak with us because, I mean, if y'all don't call, we don't have nothing to talk about. Y'all can go ahead.
I think some people need to learn. Some people, when you ask them, you tell them to pray. You got some people that will tell you they don't know how to pray because when you go to church and you hear the pastor's praying and you hear the deacon's praying or the mother's praying, sometimes you make it feel like you don't know how to pray. And so, but the only thing that people have to realize is that there are no special words. You don't have to have any special words to talk to God. You can talk to God just like you talk to your friend, although I wouldn't curse to him, but you can talk to God just like you talk to anybody else. And the best part about talking to God is that you can tell God all your secrets, although he knows them anyway. But you can talk to God about things that you wouldn't talk to other people about. And the best part about it is that he won't tell nobody. So you don't have to put it in the words that you hear your pastor say. You don't have to pray. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. You don't have to pray the way you hear the deacons at your church pray or the way you've heard the mothers pray. You can just use simple words, everyday words, and just say, Father God, I need your help today. I'm drowning. I feel like I can't make it today. I don't know what's wrong with me. My mind doesn't feel good. My body feels bad, and I don't know what to do with what's going on. And that's all you have to say. And if you believe and you trust that God is who he says he is and he'll do what he says he'll do, then you can believe and trust that he'll hear your prayer. And that he'll send somebody to you to help you, give you a little strength. So
that's what I was just going to say, Ms. Beasley. You said God won't tell nobody. Yeah, he'll send somebody your way. He might not tell them exactly what your problem is, but he'll send somebody your way.
I'm saying when you tell God your secrets, God won't tell anybody the things that you tell. He doesn't always send somebody to you. Sometimes he'll just give you peace inside your body where you can rest that night when you said you couldn't rest the night before and you just talk to him just like you talk to the person next door. Sometimes he'll give you that peace that you were missing. And sometimes he doesn't always send anybody to you. Sometimes it's just you and him going through it and he'll just take
peace of mind.
But he'll let you know that he did hear you. And like you said, sometimes he will send somebody, but not always. Sometimes you might get to church and the pastor start preaching about something and you wonder how the pastor, and the pastor's looking at you and the pastor doesn't know. But But God
don't know.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that, because I've been sitting somewhere sometimes and people say some things that I needed to hear. And that's why I said I encourage everybody to speak out at some point, because some of the things that we need to hear comes from other places. And sometimes we're not bold enough to ask that question. And that's why sometimes it's just good to be around people. You know how some people, when they get sad, they go by themselves. If you're by yourself, who else going to talk to you? Who's gonna say anything to you if you don't ask questions? That's why they say a lot of people try to commit suicide. Like, you know, when you get sad, a lot of us run off to ourselves. And a lot of people get mad when other people still come around them and try to be under them. I don't encourage you to be alone when you get sad or get upset. I encourage you to go around family or go around friends, because when you go around people, it might be just them people that's sitting around you that say something that help you along your way. And you, if you're by yourself, nobody's there to say it. I mean,
that's just my opinion
on things.
I agree with you, because it's hard to kind of comfort yourself, but other people can give you a little comfort, sometimes make you feel a little bit better. And sometimes people go into depressions and really don't know why they're in that depression.
Mhm. I have another caller at 7421 that just joined the conversation. Can you say hello on tonight? If the number ends in 7421, you're free to say hello.
Hello, guys.
How are you tonight?
I'm good.
Okay, would you like to introduce yourself?
This is Miss Nikki T.
Miss Nikki T.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we thank you for calling on tonight. We don't know if you heard any of the things that we've been speaking about on tonight, but would you like to share anything that's on your mind on tonight?
No, ma'am, just listening.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Okay, well, callers, we have about 15 more minutes online. Doughboy or Miss Beasley, would y'all like to say anything else in reference to the situations that was going on? Anybody else have something on their mind that they would like to share on Street Talk on tonight?
I'm pretty good. How you doing over there, Ms. Beasley?
Everybody don't speak at once. Okay, I wondered, do you all love your neighbors as you love yourselves?
Yes, I do.
Huh?
Yes, I do.
Hello? Street Talk? Well, I would like to share something that I learned. In Matthew 22:39, it says, you must love your neighbor as yourself. And it says love is Jehovah's main quality. God's main quality is love. It tells you in 1 John 4:6. And so if God's main quality is love, it shouldn't be hard for us to learn to love one another. And I know that if he was able to love... Just think about how much he put up with us. He put up with us every day. All of us have different ways. We all have different attitudes and different ways that we handle things. And I know if he's able to handle all of us, then we should be able to handle each other. Do y'all agree or disagree?
What do you mean handle?
Like, we should be able to, like, you know how some people, like, okay, you know how some people say, well, I don't want to go around my family because my family does this, so I don't want to go around the church because the church people do this, so they act this kind of way. I'm saying if God can love us through all our mistakes, don't you think that we should be able to put some of the pettiness to the side and love each other and learn how to deal with each other and learn how to communicate with each other?
Yeah, that's why we go through Bible study, we go through prayer, so that we can learn to be that. We're not going to be on the same level with God because it's not possible, but we can pray and study our scriptures and just ask God to give us that so that we can be a little bit more tenderhearted towards our neighbor.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, can we all learn to love our neighbors as ourselves? Like, you know, your neighbor is not just somebody that lives next door to you. That's just that's like anybody that you come into contact with. I'm saying, like,
right.
On our day-to-day lives, sometimes we'll put off, like, say, for instance, if I go next door or if I see somebody that's hurt or something, or if I see somebody that's just not even hurt, just somebody that I walk past, why is it so hard sometimes for us to just say hello to a person when we see them? Like, why is it so hard for people to just get along with each other? You know, that's what I'm trying to bring out.
I think sometimes we sit up in judgment of each other, you know, and sometimes I that's my only thing, that sometimes we sit up in judgment of each other, although we're not supposed to, but sometimes we find ourselves judging other people and forgetting about the things that we've done or the things that we're doing. So my only thing is, I guess sometimes we just sit up in judgment of one another.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not supposed to judge one another, period. But, I mean, I get what you're saying. People still do that. But, I mean, you're supposed to, once you get an understanding that we're not supposed to be so judgmental. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't say, hey, that's ugly, or, hey, I don't like that. Everybody's entitled to their own opinions of things.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You can find a liking in something, in everything that somebody do. I mean, even the ugliest dress is pretty to someone. You kind of get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I agree with you. Yeah.
Because, I mean, everybody is created differently and uniquely. And so it's something that somebody's not going to like about you. But, I mean, something. Even if you don't like a person, you can find something about everybody that you come into contact with that you can like.
I think you said the key word when you said learn.
What did you say?
Learn. I think you said
learn.
The key word when you said learn.
Learn.
We have to,
yeah,
we
learn,
have to,
to
learn.
Like it.
Learn to, yeah. I think that's the key word, learn to. Yeah.
Mhm.
You know,
learn.
We have to learn to get that learn to. Get that beam out of my eye before I start pressing judgment on the beam that's in your eye.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I agree.
Because we're always learning. Nobody ever gets through learning in our lives. Even the people that are 80, 90 years old, the lady at the church was saying that she was on, I don't know how many times she had read the Bible, and she was on next time of reading the Bible, and she said she had seen something in the Bible she hadn't seen before. So every time you read the Bible, you see something, you learn something new. So, like you said, we have to learn to love each other. We have to learn to be more tolerant of each other and be more patient with each other.
Do you know that it's like an allergic reaction too when somebody finds out that you go to church or somebody out that you read the Bible? It's like people figure that they're allergic to you then, like people start hiding from you and stuff like that, feeling like you're going to be very judgmental of them. And I feel like if people get to know each other and like, don't be scared. Like, don't be scared because this person goes to church. Don't feel like that person is going to judge you according to what you got going on. And don't be so quick to say, oh, I can't be around them because them church folks. You know, don't do that because, I mean, the church folks live real life too. I mean, just because they go to church, that don't mean they're better than you. You know what I'm saying? You can be a church person too. I mean, just because you're going to these buildings don't mean that you know better than nobody else. And, I mean, I try to teach people that, hey, I'm just like you. I be telling my friends, hey, you forgot that we all was raised in a church. I mean, people tend to act like they're allergic to you once you start gaining knowledge about the Bible. Just because I'm gaining knowledge about the Bible don't mean that I'm going to treat you a different kind of way. And because I'm starting to learn knowledge about the Bible, you should cling to me a little more because it's going to be something about me that's going to be a little different. I feel like you should like it and you should appreciate me for learning it.
Well, that's like a contradiction. That's like the cold liking the hot. The cold's not going to like the hot, and the people that don't want to go to church, they're pulling away. So when you start getting into the church, there's going to be some people that you're going to have to pull away from because your attitude and your knowledge is going to be different. So when you're in the scriptures, it tells you that there are going to be people that are going to drop on the sides because you're no longer carnal and you're no longer of the streets. So there are going to be people even in your family and your friends and stuff that you're no longer going to be connected with anymore because you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ now, and they're somewhat like enemies of God because they don't want to serve Jesus Christ. So there's no way that you can be friends with some of those people that you used to be friends with because they may not want to serve Jesus and you do, and so you can't. There are going to be people that are going to fall along the wayside that you used to be friends with, used to hang out with, and be best buddies with, but because you're walking on the walk with Jesus is a narrow walk, and so there are going to be people that are going to pull away from you, and there are going to be people that you're going to have to pull away from in order to walk with Christ. So you can't.
But walk with Jesus. Hold on.
With everybody.
Hold on. The walk with Jesus is a narrow walk, but Jesus walked with everybody. He didn't go hide from people.
But that was Jesus, and the Bible tells you that there are going to be people that you're not going to associate with anymore because their walk is a different walk. So you can't say that we're not Jesus. Jesus does that with everybody, and I don't say you leave them. But what I'm saying is there are going to be people that because of what you're doing, they don't want to do it. And so you're not going to, you don't say, well, I'm not going to be friends with you anymore because I'm going to church and you're not going to church. But some of them are not going to like that walk that you're taking. And so they won't be friends with you anymore. What do you think about that, though, boy?
Doughboy?
Did we lose?
I think we lost. caller at 8728. What do you think about
here.
That?
I'm still here. I was listening.
Well, what do y'all think about that?
Well, everything that you said, you know what I'm saying, everything that y'all saying is really correct. So I just sitting back marinating it just like everybody else putting in everything that's been saying. I agree.
Caller 6495, what do you think about that?
That's me.
Okay, caller 7673. Well, I see we have 2 minutes left on the phone, and what I'm saying is that just because I don't feel like people should be allergic to you because you're trying to gain knowledge. Because I feel like if you still go around them, then maybe they'll see some things that you're doing that's more, that's kind of different, and they'll tuck the tail feather and go with you. You know what I'm saying? At some point, I feel like if you was my friend in the world, you should be able to be my friend while I'm trying to get myself together. You maybe decide that you want to get yourself together as well. Because, I mean, you're not going nowhere along your change. You just deciding to do something better. And better is not a bad thing.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that a lot of times the friends will drift away from you because your walk with Christ is on the narrow path. And there'll be things that your friends will do that once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that you no longer should do. So there'll be places like going to clubs and drinking and partying and all those things that you no longer should do. So if they're doing those things and you say, well, no, I don't go to clubs, I don't drink anymore, like Pastor said when he got saved, his friends were doing those things, and when he told them he had got saved, he said some of them were still his friends, but others were no longer his friends because they wanted to do things. And Pastor said, well, no, I'm not doing those things anymore because I've accepted Christ.
We only have 10 seconds left. I appreciate everybody for coming on, and I appreciate you, Ms. Beasley, for sharing. If you would come back on next Friday and continue to help us go along on our street talk, if you would. I appreciate everybody for calling in to Blog Talk Radio on tonight and joining us for Street Talk. But we have to say goodbye on tonight, and I want to say each one, teach one, and thank you all for calling Street Talk, and we'll be here again.
Thank you, Reddy.
Next Friday.
Reddy, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you,
okay.
Reddy. You just keep on doing what you're doing.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you all for giving us a call. And y'all call us next Friday night at 310-982-4126. Thank you all for calling Street Talk. And remember, God is love. Thank you all. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.